Alex, why do you have a little guitar?
That's a ukulele.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. You're crazy. Welcome back to Joystick and Mouse, video game news and reviews for all you filthy casuals out there. I am Alex Albizu. I go by Cross in the gaming community. I am joined here by Diddy.
Howdy, folks.
That's Don. And then I got J-Dimes.
What's going on?
What's up, Tim? How's everybody doing today?
I'm doing great.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Weather sucks.
Weather sucks here in the DC area. We've got rain, spring upon us.
Yes.
A lot of flooding, feels like.
Mm-hmm.
I live on one of those slopes, so like the front of my house just gets like swampy, and yeah, the back of my house is fine.
Yeah,
it sucks. But anyway, we're here, episode 32. We are getting some episodes in today. We are recording on, what is today? May 13th. It's a Monday. I go to London and Budapest for a couple weeks, so we're going to knock out some podcasts today, dudes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in some upcoming episodes that you guys will hear on the feed. Just before we get started, you can head over to joystickandmouse.com if you'd like to listen to any other episodes that we're doing. Be sure to subscribe. All the links to all of the podcatchers are there. So before we really get started, Don, you built yourself a freaking monster of a computer.
It's a monster.
It's a monster, dude.
It's awesome.
How are you feeling about it?
Good. So I think last episode I mentioned tube bending is hard.
Mm. But you did it.
But I did it. There's the one tube I bent about 10 different times.
Yeah.
And then I just decided it wasn't going to work that way. I did it some other way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you look on the site, there's some pictures, and the top tube comes over and then angles down and then goes back into the processor. That tube I had going up and coming over and doing a little.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to just change the way that it was routed. But then I did it so that it was in 3D. So it's actually behind the other two.
Oh, I guess I didn't notice that. Oh, yeah. That's rad.
So the one that comes out to the reservoir is in front of that one, and they're like directly behind each other.
Oh, wow. It looks really cool. And if you go over to facebook.com/joystickandmouse, I think you got some pictures up on there.
So,
they're functioning.
I got everything fired up, everything connected, all the stuff and parts and things in, and got it all fired up, and it is running. It's amazing.
Badass, man. I love it.
So I was telling these guys earlier that, you know, I was in the middle of a raid, and it was pegged at 102 frames a second.
That's great.
In the middle of raid.
At ultra settings.
Ultra settings.
And you're everything. Running, and again, your graphics card is a 2080, right?
RTX 2080 Ti.
Badass.
It's the top.
So that's a lot of power there.
Yeah, it's not the Titan, but it's about as close as you can get.
Yeah, that without spending an arm and a leg.
Yeah, I ran the benchmarks on it, and it is in 97th percentile of all benchmarks run in this program, and I've done no tweaking to the system.
That's incredible.
Nothing.
Well, you've also been sick.
I was sick last week.
You feeling better?
Decided to get the plague. I'm never sick. And ever since I started going into the office all the time, I've been sick twice.
Yeah, everybody there is, you know, it was funny because
they're filthy.
Yeah, they're filthy. Yeah. We took Aria had a bad fever, and when we took her over to, I don't know, did I talk about this on the show about how I took her over to see Sesame Street Live?
Well, that's the reason we recorded remote last week.
Yeah. So, like, I took her to go see Sesame Street Live because her fever broke, but then her fever came back, and I'm like, God, I'm one of those parents. Damn it. Oh, well. But she's fine now. Double ear infection is great. But she's better. So here we are. We're doing a thing. J-Dimes, everything good with you?
Everything's good.
Yeah? Nothing exciting? Nothing new?
Been buying comics.
Buying a lot of comics.
Yeah. So what are you reading right now?
Well, I just finished the second volume of Saga. And I'm going to start the first volume of Sandman.
Very good. Yeah, that looks really rad, by the way. I like the artwork on the front of that thing. I had never seen what that looked like. That was cool.
Yeah, Neil Gaiman has a whole world of stories within, I guess, Vertigo is the label, which is owned by DC. Constantine, if you've ever seen the movie Constantine,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
with Keanu Reeves is based off of a book called Hellblazer, which was
Well, I know Constantine is DC, but is all this in the realm of DC?
Yeah. So originally, it was a publisher named Vertigo, and Vertigo was acquired at some point. So they were an independent, sort of like Image was when it first started, I think. And then at some point, they were bought by Warner Brothers.
Okay.
And now when you see Vertigo books, they're under the DC imprint, but they have their own kind of logo on them.
Oh, okay.
Vertigo is Wolf Among Us.
Yes.
Fables.
Wolf Among Us, yep. Yeah.
Great game.
Books.
Lucifer, which is the Netflix show, or the now Netflix show, was originally a Fox show, is based out of Vertigo. That's, I believe, I think the character of Lucifer comes out of the Sandman comic book.
Cool. All right.
Sandman's on my list. I've heard great things about that one.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, maybe that's another one. You let me borrow, what do I got upstairs again? Saga.
Saga.
The entire first volume. I've gotten through a bit of the first volume just in a different book.
Like 30 issues.
Which I stole and read.
Yeah, Don, because I wasn't getting to it fast enough. Don was like, screw you, man. I'm taking this.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and do the news. And wait, I've got a new sound effect. Hold on, wait. We're going to do the news. You like that? I got a new soundboard and it's got a thing that it does.
I'm sorry, folks.
It's fun. I can do other things. Let me see if I this is echo. I can do a delay.
I'm so sorry, folks. Really.
Boys with toys.
You know it is with the new toys.
Oh, God, I'm so happy. Anyway, all right, we got a couple of news topics to talk to you guys about. First, this Detective Pikachu movie's out. Wait, and it's killing it.
Yeah, we get to talk about it because it's based on a video game, so
yes.
We can talk about the movie.
Yes. All right. So, you know, we've got a couple of topics today. One is going to be around Detective Pikachu. Another thing is going to be around some legislation that is getting put into or is trying to get put into effect around loot boxes and gambling and some other things. So let's jump right into the first topic. So Detective Pikachu hit theaters on May 10th. And it is killing it right now. You know, it's doing, I mean, when I say killing it, it's doing fine, but like amongst audience members, it's got a solid rating on Rotten Tomatoes, for the audience members too. Let's be very clear about that. The regular Rotten Tomatoes was like 63%, and then the audience score is 85%.
Which is solid.
And that's what I usually look at because I think that critics are like also like you go to a freaking Pokemon movie, like what do you expect?
It's Pokemon.
So we're very much looking forward to talking about or seeing this movie and talking about it more. What I wanted to talk about very specifically about this movie is that there's a controversial scene that I mentioned to these guys, and I figured it'd be funny to talk about. So this is an article from Kotaku. The Pokemon company didn't like that Lickitung scene in Detective Pikachu. So let's scroll down here. Eric Nordby, the visual effects supervisor on the film, explained that to create the scene where Lickitung uses his giant tongue to lick the main character of the film, they created a giant latex tongue and covered it with fake saliva. Interestingly, according to Nordby, the Pokemon company wasn't a big fan of this scene. That's one where we got right up to the edge of what they would be comfortable with. Disturbingly, when the director of the film asked the Pokemon company about Mr. Mime and what he is, they didn't have much info to give, saying, "We don't know." In fact, the company tried to convince the creators of the film to not use Mr. Mime. They weren't sure he would even work on screen. So it's like, yeah, they're talking about how like this is kind of like a graphic thing. Like you got this big ass like latex or maybe like silicone, whatever it's made out of, thing licking the guy, and it's kind of I guess gross. Do you think that I feel like they could have gone in worse directions, and I feel like that's pretty spot on with something that one of those Pokemon would do.
Yeah, I mean, what is this, PG? PG-13?
Yeah, it's PG, right?
Yeah.
It's fine.
I mean, what child hasn't gone and licked another child?
Well, I mean, come on.
My daughter, thank you very much. Yet?
Come
on, man.
It's coming.
Children lick other children. It happens.
Yeah, it's PG.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you expect, guys? I just thought this was like so silly. When I heard about this, first of all, like that's what the Pokemon does.
It's an
like,
animal.
That's what it does.
Yeah, yeah, like, dog licks
attack.
You.
And it literally has an attack called lick in the games.
That's the attack. That's what it does.
Right?
It's Pokemon. You know, it's fine. Have you seen... Okay, I haven't seen the movie. I hear the movies are pretty good. I might wait for it to come out on video, but have you seen the pictures of the scene?
Of the licking scene?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've got hilarious. It sitting right here.
It's absolutely hilarious. I don't know how anybody would find anything.
But also, like, the tongue looks totally real. The other thing that they did about this movie, and this is what I think they nailed with this Pokemon movie and not really the Sonic movie, was that they kept true to the character's cartoonish nature, but still added a sense of realism, such as texture to the skin or fur or whatever it was. You look at the Sonic movie, and like we talked about that on the last show, like it's gross, kind of like what they ended up making Sonic out to be. And this is what I want to see in a Pokemon movie. I don't want it to be, if they were to make a live action Pokemon movie, I think that this realism is great. And if they take it that extra mile where some of the weird shit that they do in that show gets translated into real life that in a way that's, you know, not over the top, I think that's great.
It's a little silly and it's fun, but like the clips I've seen, like walking through the city and the Pokemon are with their trainer, I think it's great. That's absolutely fantastic.
It's a lot of fun. Tim, you got any thoughts on the movie? You going to go see it?
Will wants to see it, so I probably will see it at some point.
You sound so like apprehensive about it.
I'm not a huge Pokemon person.
Like Pokemon is like something anybody can really like appreciate, though.
I've never played any of the games.
Yeah, you see, you're nuts.
So, you know, I'll go. We'll go do a $5 Tuesday. And, you know,
yeah, go do that.
Oh, that's what we go Sunday mornings. Sunday morning is our movie.
That's a great way to do it, too. We went and saw Endgame on a Tuesday. Get that $5 movie on. Yeah. We'll talk about that in a future episode. I actually look forward to that.
Yeah.
All right, but that's the only thing I wanted to bring up about the Pokemon movie, because I think I just found that to be like a little silly that people were kind of up in arms at the Pokemon
people
company.
People get up in arms about anything.
People get bent about anything nowadays.
I know. Well, let's talk about something else that people get bent out of shape about. Don, you want to take us through what this what's going on with this legislation?
Oh, okay. So there's this representative in Missouri who introduced
Senator Josh Hawley, I think.
Hawley.
Hawley.
Okay. Is this a state issue or a national?
Oh, it's a national issue.
This is national. Is he a senator?
Yeah, he's a senator.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the Senate, I don't know if he has introduced the bill or is writing the bill. But it is to ban loot boxes in games that are played by minors.
Yep.
So because he feels that it's gambling and he doesn't feel like minors should be gambling.
Yeah, and this is an article that we have from The Verge. They said it would be introducing a bill banning manipulative, quote unquote, design features in video games with underage audiences, including the sale of loot boxes, under the age of 18 is what they stated. So, social media and video games prey on user addiction, siphoning our kids' attention from the real world and extracting profits from fostering compulsive habits. Hawley said, no matter this business model's advantage to the tech industry, one thing is clear. There is no excuse for exploiting children through such practices. Okay, so I've got a lot of thoughts on this. Tim's over there about to have a compulsion. Go ahead, Tim.
So the first thing I would ask is, how many games are marketed towards children that have loot boxes?
All of them.
Oh, I would say a lot.
There's
I would say
no
a lot.
Such thing
like
as
all
a game
the all the mobile games, like the battle royale. What is it? Clash Royale.
So,
stuff
but
like
let
that.
Me ask you a question: what is Fortnite rated?
Actually, does it even have a rating?
It's got
to. No, it's teen, probably.
It has to be teen because it's online. I think that's like a given. If it's an online game, it's rated teen.
At least, yeah. But let's assume teen for the sake of this conversation.
So, to me, a teen game is not marketed towards a child, right? Like, they're marketed towards a young adult.
Okay.
So, I kind of feel like it's kind of like a non-issue.
I think it's a non-issue for a different reason, but I'm willing to.
What child is like? You're not exploiting a child, right? The child isn't the one that's paying for the loot box. It's a parent.
Yes, yes. You're getting to where I was going.
We are protecting parents from spending their own money. They're adults.
We're like protecting parents from
parenting,
from not being a parent.
From parenting.
We're protecting parents from parenting.
All right. Also, I want to add a little context here for new listeners who may be hearing this. All three of us are parents. We have children of various ages in various stages of development and awareness of video games. So I just want to add a little bit of context there for our listeners. So it's not like we're a bunch of people sitting behind mics who don't have kids that don't know what we're talking about. Like, this is
my 14-year-old, well, soon to be 14-year-old, my 13-year-old has never come and been like, hey, I need money for these loot boxes in a video game. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, why do you think that is? Why do you think that is?
Because he knows I'm going to say no.
Because you're a parent and you'll say no.
Like, no, we're also not buying loot boxes.
What keeps him from just doing it himself?
He has no credit card.
Yep.
He has no currency. Now, if somebody gave him like a $25 Xbox Live gift card and what he decided he wanted to spend his money on was loot boxes in Overwatch, hey, good on him. You'll get as much as that $25 is going to get you.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's it. But, you know, he normally wants to spend his money on like another game or, you know, a DLC for a game.
Yep.
I feel like this is legislation that happened because some parent was stupid and left their credit card attached to some device.
That's usually what happens.
And the kid went doop doop doop,
which happens all the time. Like, we hear
happened
stories.
To Vanessa. Happened to Vanessa when, with Will when he was like
all the time,
like eight. I remember her calling
has
me furious.
No idea.
He bought a copy of Borderlands and Black Ops 2. Because her credit card was in the Xbox, which what made it worse was those were games I already owned.
Oof.
So we didn't even he didn't even need to buy them if he was going to play them. But yeah, $100 gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don, what are your thoughts?
Learned the lesson.
I have two really big problems with this.
Hold on.
They say I'm a grumpy old man.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. First, my biggest problem with this is for him to categorize loot boxes as gambling.
Yes.
Not gambling.
Yep.
Yes, there is uncertainty about what you're going to get in a loot box, but you are not trying to spend that money to gain more money or more things. That's gambling.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same as going out and buying a pack of baseball cards and hoping that I get Pittsburgh Pirate players in the baseball cards.
That's exactly right.
This is the same as me going out and buying the World of Warcraft TCG cards and hoping I get Spectral Tiger.
Yep.
Which I never got. And if anybody would like to donate that to me, I'd be really happy about it.
Joystickmouse@gmail.com. We'll send you the address.
But, you know, that's the same thing. Kids have been buying baseball cards and Pokemon cards and Magic the Gathering cards and stuff for ages and ages and ages. This is all throughout society in all kinds of different things that people buy things hoping to get.
Yeah. And that's
a certain thing in it.
Yeah.
And that's not gambling. If that's gambling, we got there's a whole lot of things that are already, you know,
you got a problem with there.
Already illegal that happen every day.
Yeah.
My second problem is the whole point about geared towards minors. What's a minor? Is that under 18?
Yeah. According to this legislation, yes.
Okay. there's no such thing as a game geared towards a minor. Minors play all games. I know kids. Even games they shouldn't.
And adults play all sorts of games that should be quote unquote, you know, like I think about all the Nintendo titles. Shoot, I'll sit down and play that Yoshi game. Like, that looks great.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like a fun kid game. I've been into those games way more than any of the dark stuff that I've been
playing. You and I love Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
That's definitely. Minors don't play just games for minors, right. They play all the games.
Yep.
It is up to the parent to give context to the game or to say, no, that's a little out of your league. My problem with that is that all parents aren't like that, and Johnny is just going to go next door to Billy's house and play it anyways.
Yeah.
So I think you're better off to explain the game to the child and say, this is not real, this is make-believe. There's a certain point where that's good, okay, and not okay.
Yep.
And certain things where that's okay and not okay. But for the most part, if you're honest with them and you're doing a good thing and you're talking to them about the games, if you say, hey, that game's probably not appropriate, they're probably going to say, okay, that game's not appropriate. Because if you let them play Call of Duty, which is, you know, a lot of people would find inappropriate, you know, when you don't want them to play, I don't know, pick one, Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, which is a great example of a game that really kids should not be playing.
Kids probably should not be Lots playing Grand Theft Auto, but we know they all went over to, you know, Joe's house, who his mom, he went in with her and said, Mom, I went to this game.
Mom's all said, okay. Liquored up saying, hey, son, you play whatever you want.
So, you know, you have to tell them, I'd prefer that you not play that game, but just remember that that's not real life.
Yeah, this I know. Yeah, you see, that's really important because when you take a moment as a parent, there's no reason to, in today's day and age, to not be educated on what your kid is doing.
Absolutely.
And to not be educated on what it is that they're into, whatever that may be. Even video games. Parents, like this is just another example of how out of touch politicians are.
Absolutely.
And you know, we've gotten political on this show a couple times, so I'm not going to do it too much here, but you know, I think that this is an example of somebody who may be doing something on behalf of their constituent. Maybe that's a good case. Still though, you have to be knowledgeable enough about the facts and about the underlying issues of certain situations to be able to say, hey, you know what? This isn't a problem where the video games need to be regulated. And in fact, this is a great situation where, you know, and in fact, actually our friend Bill, had a conversation about this with Scott Johnson on his show, Run Jump Stop. And one of the things that Scott brought up, and I was thinking this exact same thing, is that, you know, when it comes to these game companies, they have an opportunity to step up and to change things on their own. They don't necessarily need to bring the government in. There will be situations, you know, there could be situations where these game companies are empowered to say, hey, you know what? What we're doing needs a little extra of a guard against young kids accidentally doing what Willie did, where he clicked on the buy thing a couple times and he bought a couple of games. There could be new gating that these companies come up with in new innovative ways that actually help solve the problem rather than putting legislation around it.
Well, the video game companies they came up with the rating system. They tried to give parents guidance to the games, you know, to say, and it's, hey, you should, you know, bingo. Take care.
And that goes right back to the parents, though. Yeah, at the end of the day, really, it's nobody's, like, you got to know what your kid's doing, and you got to know like how they're consuming things and what they're doing.
My kids are in their 20s, and I still try to pay attention to what's going on.
So important
in that world, so that you know that I can talk to them about things, or you know they mention something, and I have an inkling at least of what it's about.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on this, guys?
I feel like he's trying to fix an issue that's not loot boxes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you're right.
Loot boxes, there are inherent issues in video games with loot boxes, right?
I hate loot boxes anyways.
I think if you polled gamers in specific games, they would tell you they'd have, you know, people on both sides. Loot boxes are good. Loot boxes, you know, aren't good. And there's enough backlash, I think, within the community against loot boxes that maybe it's an issue that kind of fixes itself. But I think the legislation is kind of misplaced.
Bless you.
Excuse me. Sorry, if you heard that on the other mics, I sneezed. I muted myself. But go ahead.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I'd like to see this senator in a more long-form discussion really talk about
what... I would love to hear the defense for this.
Yeah.
Longer than this article on this website. I would love to listen to it. And you know this thing's not going to pass.
I hope not.
It really can't. There's no way something this stupid passes.
Yeah, but this is just somebody that doesn't understand a
that's dangerous.
An issue.
Yeah,
trying to create legislation for it,
especially with gambling, right? Like,
well, to call it that's what I mean by dangerous.
To call it gambling
is dangerous, and I think I'm a big fan of the phrase "words matter." When you're saying something like I've been a fan of that since I talked about, you know, in that conversation I had with Jerry on the DAG Chronicle, where he's talking about, you know, the differences in holistic versus, mm-hmm. you know, in the vaccination conversation I had with him there. Like, I've thought a lot about how we use words to really drive a certain behavior or a certain thought around something due to some preconceived idea of what that means, and gambling means it has a couple connotations. One is addiction. Another one is, you know, immediate loss of money and something that is not going to be returned to you. Like, this, the whole idea behind this loot box and the thing to tie this back to, this is exactly what you said, Diddy. It's the it's trading card games. You know, yeah. It's buy that pack of Pokemon cards.
It's the digital equivalent of baseball cards.
That's not gambling. That's
not gambling.
But the word is a dog whistle.
It's a way to elicit a response from people.
Bingo. So words matter.
Yes.
And I would love to hear from our listeners. If you guys agree, disagree, email us joystickamouse@gmail.com. We do not have a video game this week because we have been just absolutely slammed.
I've been elbow deep in computers and...
Yeah, you've been...
And I've been sick.
Yeah, and I've been podcasting so much, I haven't even played a freaking video game.
So the only thing I've played is World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I hopped on. I got exalted with the Proud Moor Admiralty.
I am not exalted with him yet.
But I guess I didn't finish the rest of the quest, so I still need to go and do that somehow.
You know, that's really... Well, okay, so let's use this as our video game review.
Okay.
The I know the requirements are laid out. It's still hard as hell to tell what you need to do to open that up.
I actually opened up a ticket with the GM, with a DM in WoW, and they were like, sorry, we can't tell you exactly where to go, but go to this article to see like where you got to start. And I'm like, dude, that doesn't help me.
That doesn't help literally, me. I can't tell where I'm at or what I need to do or what's next.
And I get it, right? Like, because part of it is, hey, this is a game of exploration. It's a big world. Figure it out. I get that to a point. But also, I'm sitting here like, dude, with what time I have, I just want to do the thing.
Can you give me a bone here?
Yeah. And Lord knows I'm going to stumble upon it one day, but that kind of irked me.
Is it like not out there, or like do people just purposely not share?
I even went and read the guide, and I still can't figure out what the hell I'm supposed to do next.
Yeah, and I got to stumble upon it. I really do. And I think I will. I'll figure it out. I'm a pretty resourceful person, but... You know, and I guess we're complaining about the thing that the game is really about, right? Like, it's a game about exploration. Back in the day, this stuff did not exist, and I actually sometimes miss how little guidance you got a lot of the time in the vanilla WoW. Sometimes, not all the time,
but ThoughtBot was still there.
Yep,
there's a whole industry now that didn't exist years ago to help you.
Where they're
games. Yeah.
You know, like even when we were kids, we would have to wait for like Nintendo Power to write an article about a game.
Wow.
And they might give you some hints
as to
what you needed to do. But now, you know, you buy a game, and like I used to like to buy the guides. Because, like, you know, the collector's edition guides, they look nice on the shelf.
I used to buy the guides.
Yeah. I did, too. I loved them.
And I remember I bought a guide for Zelda, and Will looked at me. He was like, but you can just find all this on the internet. And I was like, that's true. I said, but, you know, the problem is we bought the game day one. I don't think it's going to be out there maybe as soon as we need it.
Okay. Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a whole industry involved in guiding you and helping you through.
It's true.
Yeah, the thing with World of Warcraft is they put stuff out on the PTR before it ever goes live. So when it goes live, it's all out. Yeah, you already know what to do when it comes live for the people.
Yeah, if you want to help me figure out, me and Diddy figure out where we need to go for that quest, email joystickandmouse@gmail.com. I want to figure it out. I want my big ass. I'm going to make a warrior. I'm going to make a Kul'tiran warrior.
I have the Horde side.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah, I just don't have... I have both allied races in the Horde side. I do not have them in the...
Yeah, I got the Alliance, the Dark Iron Dwarves. I got everything except the Kul'tiran race. So, I don't know. It's all silly, but anyway.
I don't even think I have the Dark Iron Dwarves.
Oh, it's not hard. You just knock out that 7th Legion rep. Just knock that out.
Yeah,
it's
see, easy. That's the thing. It's
a grind.
Going to have to grind those.
Yep, but that's why you do it in war mode, and you get to just fight other people the whole time. It's fun.
I'm not a big PvP. Okay, so...
Oh, man, I do so much.
So the one game...
So much work on that.
That I have loved. I'm not a big PvP person. I'm not a big... Comfort. I don't like the battle royales that much.
Okay.
That kind of thing. The one game where I loved PvP was Dark Ages of Camelot.
Well, that was totally different scale and different experience.
It was, and they had this thing where you had to take a keep, and there were three factions in that game. And the other two factions were trying to take the keep, but the person that or the faction that held the keep, they got bonuses to try and help keep it. So it was a blast. Those battles were epic, and there would be hundreds of people online at the same time. One faction trying to keep to hold the keep, and the other two trying to take it.
Yeah, it's
was
cool.
It the red keep?
No, and actually it really was. It was just a castle in the middle of the...
We can't talk about this. He hasn't seen
it. The Red Keep has been... It's existed the entire show. I'm just saying. Is it the Red Keep?
Yeah, I know, but, you know, no reference to anything.
We can talk about the Red Wedding, because that was...
Oh, this is a whole other thing.
But, yeah, that one was a lot of fun. It was just a castle in the middle of an island, and you had to take it.
Did you guys ever play Warhammer Online? It took what they did there... and put it on steroids with Dark Ages of Camelot. It was Mythic Entertainment. It was the same company located here in Fairfax.
Yep,
rest in peace.
I have never done it.
I went over to that office and I sat down with one of their senior directors or creative directors, Paul, what was his last name? Oh my gosh. I'm going to regret not being able to remember his name. Awesome dude, British dude. Anyway, he let me come over to the office and try the first like beta builds, alpha builds, really, of SWTOR before that came out. Star Wars The Old Republic. Oh, it was so rad. It was so cool. I made a freaking Jedi, and I was like, oh my God, guys, I'm a Jedi. It was so cool.
So you brought up Star Wars. Respawn has announced that the next game, which I can't remember.
Yeah, Fallen Order.
Yep. Fallen Order.
Jedi Fallen Order.
Single player only.
All about that.
Yes.
All about it.
I just hope that the story
is they gotta knock it out.
And that they if they make a campaign that is half as good as Titanfall 2 was.
Guys, if they don't make a good campaign, this is it for EA. They lose it. Yep. They're gonna lose the license. Guarantee it.
You know what? This Vince Zapparilla? Zapparilla, is that his name? Has never made a game that I've played where the campaign was not good. And I don't think he'll start now.
Good.
I mean, he is responsible for the best campaigns in Call of Duty, I think. I like the Modern Warfare campaigns.
Oh, I like
Modern Warfare. I thought it was good.
Yeah. Titanfall 2, This campaign.
Solid campaign. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I played it on easy, so it was like super fun to just kind of go around and like jump all over people and bash heads in. It was great.
Yeah. So I expect
we'll have a good experience with this.
Yeah.
If, yes. And if they don't, shame on them. They have one of the most critical IPs in the history of mankind. They got to do right.
I need lightsabers. I don't even need characters that I'm familiar with. Like they can, you know, kind of.
Oh yeah. These are going to be like, new characters, but you know, we're going to see gameplay in the next month.
Yeah.
I'm excited. That's something that they said. So very excited to see that. Oh, excuse me. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
That's good.
All right. Gentlemen, that'll be a show for today. That'll be a show. Now, we are going to be recording a couple more shows, so stick around. Head over to joystickandmouse.com and subscribe to the show and make sure you don't miss any of the content that's going to be coming out while we are away. You can learn a little bit about why we're going to be away from the mic, you know, physically for the next couple of weeks. Even though you guys will be getting content like we normally hear, just you know, make sure that you subscribe, joystickandmouse.com, and leave a review, a 5-star review on iTunes. That always helps. So, Diddy, where can people reach you?
Diddy Does Games, all places.
J-Dimes?
J-Dimes, all places.
You can find me at Alex Albisu. Last name is spelled A-L-B-I-S-U. That is it, gentlemen. Say goodbye to the nice folks at home.
See you later, folks.
Later.
Bye.
If you like this show, check out more great content at incastmedianetwork.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
My least favorite thing that happens at night is when I can hear my dogs going. And they're just sitting there.
Actually, do you know what it is? Is the cats will get up and they'll start kneading and you can hear the crunching.
Yeah,
Yes. Yeah, it's
it's like I get up and the dogs whenever they do something bad and I go they know to like stop doing so like you hear and they all go and then they just stop and it's just dead silent.
But they're like, we can't breathe, Daddy, we can't breathe, we need to lick.
Oh man, it's so gross. Like all they're doing is just smacking their lips or whatever. It's so nasty. All right, you want to do this thing?
Let's do a thing.